We're obviously interested in on two levels. I'm going to focus on one, not so much on the other, even though it's important, but it'll just take too long. So the two issues are, you know, fundamentally we're trying to figure, I think the issue that we're not going to explore as much is the, you know, details of the din d'rabbanan of b'fanei nachta, and we're going to discuss some of them, but we're not certainly going to discuss every prat, because that will take a lot of time, and there are many, dinim d'oraisa that are, you know, more basic to shtaros that we should be focusing on. But we are going to discuss part of it because it's in the parak, very prominent in the parak, obviously, but especially what we're interested in doing in light of things that we've already done, and also just objectively what needs to be done, is to try to figure out, like, what are the flaws, you know, what are the problems that b'fanei nachta, are coming to remedy. And those problems also need to be classified. Are they d'oraisa problems? Are they d'rabbanan problems? Then again, we'll also try to figure out a little bit how b'fanei nachta solves them. But what I mean by that is, I think that there are like three or four issues, you know, that we should be considering, and some of them overlap. And this is not really news, because this is connected to topics that we've already done in terms of shtar and edus shebishtar and the protections of shtar, etc. But they come to the fore in these topics. Okay, so number one thing to think about is, just going to, you know, list a couple of things that are obvious, but, you know, what is the chashash, you know, that we're dealing with? How much are we really concerned about it? In other words, if there's a problem of lishma, or there's a problem of, chashash ziyuf, right? What are the prospects really that we're dealing with something real? And that, of course, is a dual question. Like, number one, just like how frequent or ubiquitous is it that you'll have a get which is flawed from a lishma point of view, you know, or and, you know, from a, from a ziyuf point of view, right? And in part, of course, the difference between already, the fact that there's a difference between, you know, on the lishma level, between, you know, a get which comes from Eretz Yisrael and a get that comes from Chutz La'aretz is already part of the story. And of course, the continuation of the initial point of the Gemara, it's a davar she'be'erva, you should need shnayim, you know, that shaka v'tari, which Noam read the other day, which we had seen before, which is, or no, it's the opposite, the sofrim are expert, and, you know, it's a chashash, of miyuta, maybe even miyuta de miyuta, because even Rabbi Meir. So, obviously, these factors go into the, especially the lishma part of it, like how much of a serious consideration is it? And it spills over into, and there are two parts to that question too. Number one, just how frequent is it? But we know it's infrequent, so it's more like a legal question, which is, even if it's infrequent, you know, are we really worried about it or not? And that, of course, you know, overlaps into the Rashi Tosis discussion, which we're kind of in the middle of and which we're going to pick up on in just a couple of minutes. So that's one question, and closely related to it, because it is a chashash rachok, is the threshold question. And that's a fascinating question, although one that's hard to pin down. By which I mean, you know, once we're saying that, Sifri Dedaini, you know, are Medak Dayak, you know, they're Bekiyim, you know, and that even Rabbi Meir, you know, is not going to think that you need, you know, Shnai Medim here, meaning we're acknowledging that this is a chashash rachok, so, you know, the onus, you know, the burden of the problem, you know, shifts to the other side. So why are we making such a big deal about this chashash? Meaning, according to, you know, the normal klolim of Kol HaTorah Kula, you know, we always go basar rov, you know, in basar chazaka, and especially, you know, if even Rabbi Meir, you know, is not going to think that this is a daraisa problem, and he's one who's koshesh, you know, lemiuta, Again, it a little bit goes back, to the old problem that we discussed in Psachim, those of you who are here, and in Chulin, it comes up every couple of years, and that is that, even though we do rely on roves and chazakos and so on and so forth, efshel levarer, tzorich levarer, that's a debate between the Rishonim, the Balamor and the Ramban, the beginning of Chulin, and the Rajba and the Ra'ah, and, Rishonim throughout Shas. Just because we rely on things like Rove doesn't mean, that we wouldn't be Mavar if we could be Mavar. But, and that, that's part of the story, meaning is there some sort of a latest Asafek? But especially when you think, that even Rabbi Meir is not going to be Machmir, so you might, it sounds like we're getting very close to the category of, miut she'eno matsui legamri, or miuta de miuta, which is kind of what Tosas asks when they're concerned about the Lishma proud. Tosas says, Rashi's really worried, we're actually worried about Lishma. It's a miuta de miuta, because Rabbi Meir is not. So, of course, you have to look at this from this perspective, but like even the Rishonim, like the Balamor and the Ra'ah, who typically say Ef Shalavar, it's our, I'm sorry, not like Balamar. Even the Rishonim, like the Ramban, sorry, and the Rajba, who typically say, that Ef Shalavar, it's our Chlevarer, right, even they, often agree that if it's a, it's a Miyut She'ino Matsui, that doesn't count. Or the way, as I've many, many times quoted it, the way the Rav used to formulate it, it's really, it's the same idea, but it's just a good formulation. And that is there are certain, robes, or whatever, that, that there's not really a latest asafek. There's only a latest asafek upon, reconstruction. By which I mean, that, in anticipation, you don't really, things that the possibility is so remote that, you don't really consider it at all. I always give the example of, crossing the street, right? So, and I'll leave Queens Boulevard out of it and the Briskers. We'll just go straight today because we're in a hurry. So the point is that when you typically cross the street, if you want more information, you can ask Josh or Aaron or Eitan or Josh. I won't go the whole thing. But the point is that if you're about to cross the street, you don't really typically, most normal people don't calculate their odds. You don't say, there's like a 99.7% I'm going to get to the other side. Right? That's not the way we think. There's no latest asafek. You're going to get to the other side. Tragically, there are people who don't get to the other side. So it's not 100%. And we know in advance that there'll be exceptions, but in the individual case, we don't really look at this as a problem until there's a problem. There's no problem. It's not exactly the same, but it's similar. We were talking about Eidus the other day as being something which is the halacha looks at Eidus as a badai, and it looks at Shnayim Eidim as as reaching the status of badai, which is why Trey is Kameya, even though everybody understands that Meya is better than Trey. That's why the Ramban in this Perush Al HaTorah, says that Al Pi Shnayim was Shlosha Eidim, Shlosha is better than Shnayim, even though the Ramban in his Chidushim, both in Ksuvas and in Bava Basra, is one of the strongest, advocates for the idea that legally you can never add to two Eidim, and that Trei Kameya, means, this is just an example, that, not only, is it Al Pi Din equal, but you can't do better than Trei. Ramban's explanation, which is implicit in some Tosas, like you can't add migu to Edom to make Edom stronger than other Edom because you're already maxed out. You've already reached, legally are maxed out. So this is a great example of it's all over the world of halacha. In other words, sometimes legally and formally we have certain status, even though practically we know that there are exceptions. That's totally fine. That's what law and formalism is. That's a difference between also looking at things prospectively and looking at them, retrospectively when there are, when there are anomalies. if the Nesivos thinks about Eidos that, you know, sometimes the reason Eid Echad, you know, is not reliable, is not Naaman like Shnayim Eidim, is because of potential, you know, delusions, you know, and then he says, oh, but, you know, two people don't have the same delusions, but sometimes, you know, people do. Either way, sometimes people are just lying. It doesn't matter. So the same thing is true in the world of Rove. There can be a miut, but certain, you know, levels of miut just don't, you know, register. You know, and that's what the Rav used to call, there's no leidas hasafek. You know, and he, you know, was trying to explain also things like, you know, davar sheish lamatirin, efshel levarer, tzarech levarer, you know, things like that. Sometimes you can have a situation where the numbers are actually, you know, inferior, you know, but the operation is such that legally, you know, it's superior, right? Like, I'll give you an example, Svek Sveka, right? The Rishonim who say, without going into details, that, you know, that maybe Svek Sveka, there's no, for example, the Rishonim who hold, like the Rajba, there's no Dover Sheish Lamatirin in Svek Sveka. That's his view. So even though there is Dover Sheish Lamatirin in Rove, maybe even in a very strong Rove, now, on a numerical level, you know, every Svek Sveka that's a Safek HaShakol is 75-25, let's say. You know, if they're really Safek HaShakol, 50-50-50-50. Okay, so why would the Svek Sveka be ever superior to a 75-25, you know, row? But the answer is, assuming that it's true, right, which is the question, but assuming it's true in something like Dov Sheish Lamatirin, it might even be true in Efshel Levarer, Tzorech Levarer, according to some poskim. The answer is because on a Leidas HaSafek level, I don't mean just what's in people's perceptions. I mean, legally, the halacha determines this. You know, it takes the negative resolution of two sfeikos, you know, to be a problem in one case, and it takes, you know, just a miut, you know, in the other case. And not everything reduces to probability, you know, to the mathematicals, you know, the mathematical probability. So, right. So what I'm trying to suggest, what I'm trying to say is, the first question that, you know, if you're worried about lishma, or you're worried about ziyuf, or you're worried about, you know, ktanim hoyu, or psulim hoyu, you know, or a mana, or, you know, you're worried about, we'll get it, you know, we might as well talk about, not the elephant in the room exactly, but, you know, you're worried about, you know, maybe the shliach wasn't nimna, you know, al yedei habayla. You know, any chashash that you're worried about, you know, whether it's a, we'll introduce this right now as well, a shtar problem or a get problem, anything that is going to be ma'akev, the chalosa geirushin, anything you're worried about has to be thought about, you know, first on two levels. Number one, like what is the, you know, ubiquity or the likelihood of the problem? And what is it, you know, does it qualify, you know, as a roven miut, as a, you know, as a miuta de miuta, you know, et cetera, et cetera? That's question number one. But that brings you to question number two. Gets a little surprising, all these sugyas, you know, because, and you do have the dialectic in the Gemara, the Hava meaning you need two Edim, the, you know, even after the Maskana of telling us that, you know, take about Lishma, that, you know, it's Medek Dayek, the Sofrim, and, you know, and again, and even Rav Meir's not, you know, worried about it, Dora, and still you have this whole Shaka Vitaria of, you know, that it's still only Mishumiguna, you know, Hikilu, and then the discussion in the Gemara, you know, are you, is it, you know, if a guna is really the issue, are you doing him a favor, you know, by being Mekil, maybe by demanding higher, you know, more rigorous standards, you would actually be, you know, strengthening, you know, the get or forestalling, you know, any kind of more serious, you know, ira raba. So that whole discussion, even after the Gemara is established, when it's established, you know, kind of accentuates point number two, which is if the actual chashash is a relatively remote one, right? So it would seem that the problem is the threshold, you know, namely how, you know, on a drabbanan level at least, how protected does the, you know, integrity of this get, you know, need to be for, you know, even midrabbanan, you know, to be perfectly fine. And that could take, you know, two forms as well, right? One is, and I think that they're both fascinating, really, you know, but they're just very different. And that's kind of where Rashi and Tosfos come in, meaning for Rashi, we've discussed already on Beis Amud Beis, you know, that the problem, let's say, at least in Lishma, is really a chashash, Shema Ein Zeh Lishma, you know, and that's what he means also in Gimel Amud Aleph when he says, you know, as we noted, Hashti Asu Ma'arev Uki Chad L'Mahad Echad, meaning once he's even said, B'fanei Nechtam, right, it's, you know, and the Baal is Ma'arev, we're treating it seriously. It's like Chad V'gab B'chad. We'll see in a moment, you know, some of the Acharonim were worried that we didn't, you know, shift everything even more in the favor of the Baal. But, okay, so for Rashi, you know, that there's some sort of real chashash, even though it's rachok, you know, so what are the implications of that, at least on the Drabbanan level, you know, about this get, you know, having, you know, such a pristine, you know, stature, that Midrabbanan were breaking rules, almost, you know, Mashal Amad Avar Domeh, like, you know, we find in other areas, like there's Isurim, you know, there's Tahara, there's Dine Mominis. Are the thresholds, this is a Daraisa question, are the thresholds the same, you know, in all of them? You know, or not? That's a discussion, you know, in many sugyas and in Zvachim and in Kulin and, you know, all over the place. You know, do we learn out, you know, Isura, Mituma, Mimamon? What are the levels? You know, so what about Dover Sheba Erva? And what about particularly the Dover Sheba Erva, you know, of Gittin? Is it possible, it would have been even more fascinating if this were true, right? It actually might be. There's maybe an echo of it being even Doraisa in the case of Ir Rabal. But before we get to Ir Rabal, this seems to be a Dindra Abana. So, you know, in the absence of Ir Rabal, if this is what we need going forward, as a prerequisite at least. So are we saying kind of Midrabbanan, and if so, is that Akiyum Daraisa or working off of Daraisas, you know, in other parts of Gittin? Like the theme might be Daraisa, even the application, you know, might be Midrabbanan, that when it comes either broadly to Dover Sheba Erva or more specifically to Gittin, which is Matir, you know, Eishes Ish, you know, that we, you know, go above, you know, and beyond. Again, going back to the Chulin days, Mashal Amad Avar Domeh, you know, like in Taharus, you know, we're aware that we have special dinim, Safek Tuma Brishus Arabim is Tahar, Safek Tuma Brishus Hayakid is Tameh, and the nature of those halachas, we're not going to get into that right now. But I always like, you know, to quote that Ramban in the beginning of Chulin, where the Ramban basically says that, you know, whenever the Torah requires Shmira, right, the regular dine hachra are adjusted. Now, he's trying to explain, why did you say, you know, safek tuma, you know, birshus harabim tahar, you know, with regard to truma. So he says, no, since truma is mishmeres trumosai, there's a language of shmira, so we're actually more machmir whenever the Torah uses the expression of Shmir. This, of course, explains a lot. This is not our topic now, but about, you know, matzah, right? Why we're so machmir in certain, you know, chashashos of chimutz. Torah says, u'shmartem es ha-matzos. So the idea is, and it's a very compelling idea, that whenever the Torah requires, you know, Shmira, what that means is it's not the bottom line only, you know, namely, you know, whether or not something is, you know, is kadasu kadin or it's flawed and it's, you know, been compromised, you know, it's that too. But in addition, it's like, don't even get to that point. Because you should, you know, be, the shmira implies that you are, you know, taking a protective stance, you know, that, you know, a bubble kind of, you know, that's the way to understand Asu Siagol Torah, frankly, you know, which is based on Asu Mishmeres Mishmarti. Of course, that's a din d'rabbanon, but it's a din d'rabbanon that works off of a Doraisa idea, namely, if this is really something that is so precious to you, you know, would you rely on robe, even miut sheino matsui robes, you know, or, you know, you're going to put it in the best vault that there is. What's that? Where do they keep the gold? Fort Knox? They still have Fort Knox? They don't have the UGA anymore, but they have Fort Knox? Okay. I'm not so sure that the UGA doesn't really exist anymore. Yes. It does exist.
They changed
their name?
Like they merged or something.
But it still does exist.
No,
okay.
Yeah, the UGA Federation of New York.
Oh, okay, there you go. I'm saying like the Federation of Memphis, that's like a whole different, you know, that's a different chalos. We agree with that. Okay, but so the point I'm trying to make is that the first thing we have to figure out in these things, or the face in theory, if we had all the time in the world to do this, is what is the chashash of lo lishma, what is the chashash of ziyuf, etc. And the second thing we need to investigate, but it's not so simple, and how does that, is once we've done number one and figured out how that fits in with the standards of safek, you know, and chashashos and kol tarakula, is to figure out what is our risk tolerance, our threshold, our risk tolerance when it comes to gittin. And that's a question, you know, in the sense that it's, you know, just as in general, Isur, Mamo, and Tahara may have different ones, and Shmira may have a different level, so too, if we're talking about Gittin, right, there's an added element of being, you know, of Shmira, of the standards of you know, Heter Isha Lashuk in Kol Tarakula, meaning the Rambam's, you know, plea, you know, in Perek Aleph, you know, Hilchos Gerushin Halacha Yud Gimel, that you need Eidei Kiyum because, you know, Efshar Hayom Yesh Asish and tomorrow she's Muteris Lashuk, which as we discussed, you know, might be the pshat in Chavlach Rini, or a pshat in Chavlach Rini, or not. But either way, what the Rambam is really, you know, it's a hayitachein kind of an argument. He doesn't get it explicitly from a Gemara. It's the Rambam saying, you have to have a very high standard here, you know, to be mater and isha l'shok. You have to protect, you know, ishus, you know, throughout Bal Yisrael. And by the way, that's what the Rambam says again, as we said, in Perek Tes, Hilchos Gerushin, Halacha Lamed Beis, when we're talking about, you know, the problem of a Shliach LaHalacha, which we'll get back to. Right there too, he says the same thing. He says, you know, there's, now again, in comparing, you know, the threshold necessary to create Ishus and the threshold necessary to be Matir Ishus, right, as we've discussed, there is contrary evidence, and we'll discuss it more, but we've already seen a little bit. You know, but the logic of it is, in terms of like a creation, a Yetziras Achalos, you know, for sure, instinctively, we would think it's harder to create Ishus, you know, than it is to undo Ishus, because, you know, that's the whole point, is that you're creating this more than the sum of its parts, Chalos, you know, this everything that we've discussed. We don't need to repeat it. On the other hand, on the other side of it, being matir, it isn't just that you know, are not just undoing, but it's a chalos and you have to undo it. It's also the added, even then, that would seemingly be less heavy lifting. It should be more heavy lifting than, you know, simply going back to the status quo. But it probably isn't more heavy lifting than creating the issues. That would be peculiar. But what it is it's being matir isha l'shuk. One is being oser, one is being matir. To be oser, you know, in terms of shmira, you know, you could talk about koach, you know, hatera adif, you know, or not, and what it means, you know, all you want. But in the end of the day, of course, you know, anybody with, you know, Yerush Shamayim understands that, that sometimes, you know, you have to be more machmir to protect things that are crucial. So from a, you know, standard threshold, you know, are we going to rely on, you know, robes and chazakas, etc., or do we need more here? You know, gittin is far more compelling than kiddushin. From a objectively to solemnize and validate and create this thing, you know, point of view, kiddushin is far more, you know. So anyway, this all goes into the, like, the thought process is really what I'm trying to sensitize here. So A, what is the, so for example, according to Rashi, we'll get more to this in a minute, the threshold question is certainly about Lishma here. No question about that. And we'll talk more about it. Right? But that's probably one of the reasons, Tosis Lashitasam, you know, that Tosis went a different route here. I mean, Tosis's view, as we already discussed, is that it's a Laz problem. Probably, you know, avoiding, you know, an actual Lishma problem because it's Miyuta de Miyuta Lashitaso, part of this critique. You know, but what he substitutes it for is fascinating too. You know, what is Laz? And there are even 2 days in Tosis, right? You know, on Gimel Amud Aleph, that what?
Yeah. Well, even the Laz itself is actually possible to get, just that no one's going to marry her even to get something.
Exactly. You have the 2 days, just so we can read it quickly.
Yeah. So, Yesh Bafarish, the possibly Mamish, Afagabilo Mamim, the very end, through the whole thing.
No, yeah, we can. That's fine. But and then the end, he has the second day. Yeah. Now, the simple reading of the Gemara sounds a little bit like the first day, right? But what Tosis has trouble abiding that is because, like, so what is your motzi laz is posel a get? Even if it's only drabana, like motzi laz is like you give people the gossip mongers or the, you know, defamers. You know, now they, you know, today's New York Times, they have like a big piece about how, you know, artificial intelligence is, you know, going to be in the forefront of, you know, defamation and, you know, and rumor mongering. So you should be careful about that. But the, right, meaning typically the language of the Gemara Pasale sounds like the first day in Tosis, correct? You know? Yeah. But the objectively, the idea that, you know, motzi laz would be posel a get is shocking. Right. So it, 2 things are interesting. Even if you take the second view, which is the dominant view in the Rishonim, so, but we are demanding this whole institution of b'fanei nachtam, according to at least Rabbah, you know, for the sake of laz. It's almost like, you know, lo yechote niskar, like, you know, why do we even have to deal with that? But they have a whole institution, it's the beginning of the Masechta, you have, you know, pages and pages in this parak, you know, making me feel guilty that we're not going to go into every prat, you know, because it's given so much emphasis in the, but there's a Musar Haskell in it, there really is. You know, this may be one of the reasons why, like, why do we begin with Fanei Nachta, Fanei Nachta? Because in a way, these dinim drabanan and this, you know, chashashos, this idea that even though something is either a chashash rachok like Rashi, or, you know, not even that, you know, but motzi laz, and we're going to neutralize it. It does say a lot about, you know, kedushas ishus and the need, you know, to protect it. So if you're going to be actually posel, which is rare, to motzi laz is posel. That would be an unbelievable chiddush, but that's a simple reading of the Gemara. Since substantively it's very hard to justify, so, you know, what I'm trying to say is each shita is mechadesh, you know, something, you know, and there's a common denominator to the chiddush, you know, which is catapulting the status of, or the fear of la. Either laz, you know, has been weaponized into something that is posel, you know, which you'd never want to do, and objectively, you know, you wouldn't think you need to do if the kashash itself doesn't qualify, right? Or what we're saying is it's not posel anyway, but it's a huge, you know, prerequisite, you know, in the lechatchila, even though it's not enough to be posel. And the Gemara is going to use the language of posel, even though it doesn't mean it doesn't really mean posel. Right. So whether it's Rashi's chashash rachok threshold, or it's 2 days in Tosis's laws, either posel or just ma'akev lechatchila, it's very possible that that explains, you know, why this is such a, you know, very, very important sugya. But you just have to stand back, like, kind of, and appreciate, you know, what it is. And therefore, you know, and in a way, it's bound up with the chashash aguna too. Because on the one hand, you know, that you want the standards of getting to be sky high, because you don't want to be, you know, chalila, you know, even, you know, remotely, possibly being matir eshes ish l'shuk, that would be a tragedy. It, you know, has a mamzerus effect. And B, it just, you know, makes a mess of the whole reputation, you know, of kedushas ishus and everything that we have been discussing all year. And at the same time, right, if you, like in any chumra, you know, when the, we do avos this week, so, you know, asus yag la Torah, so the typical explanation is make a fence of the Torah. You know, sometimes you have to protect things that you cherish, you know, and that protection can seem exaggerated, but again, you put the gold in Fort Knox, you know, because supposedly it's impregnable, you know, because you cherish it so much. So Kol Shekein, you know, the skula of Torah and mitzvos, and, you know, that's our pathway to a meaningful life and relationship with the Rabbanu Shalala. On the other hand, if you look at Avos Rav Nasan, so he has a different take on the word siag, and he basically has, you know, the balancing, you know, the izun, the way to moderate all this. He says sometimes you can protect something, and we know this is true in life, even something that is precious, you protect it too much, you don't let it breathe, and you don't let it experience, and you don't let, you know, you don't allow any kind of, you know, risk. You can, you know, suffocate, and you can smother something. So the, you know, the challenge of halachic, you know, stewardship of Chazal, you know, which includes Asu Siag La Torah, of course, is to find the right balance between them. So Mishuma Iguna Hikilu is a great, you know, example of that. On the one hand, like, you want to be really machmir on the stand, whether it's a, because you're worried even just about motzi laz, or, you know, a chashash, you know, rachok, you know, you're going to give credence to it, or you're still going to, you know, kind of neutralize or preclude, you know, even that. On the other hand, you know, you can destroy, you know, the institution of Gittin with that. Remember, we started the year by discussing, you know, the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, and the idea that sometimes, you know, Geirushin is a kiyum, the psukim in Kiteitse, sometimes it's a kiyum in Ishus itself. Sometimes, you know, Kedushas Ishus demands Geirushin, and sometimes the ability to move forward from a mistake, you know, is critical. So it's not just the Shaka Vatari the Gemara, what is this and what is that and what is it? It's, of course, that. Can't skip steps. And that's why I say each Perush, you know, often is illuminating these issues. But this is kind of what we are talking about. So the standards here may very well be not just Erva, something that the Rajba kind of implies later on, and Hey, but particularly Erva of Gittin, and, you know, because of the, you know, the issues, you know, that it entails. So those are the first two issues. Then, of course, the third issue, you know, is the next two issues, the third and the fourth issue. Again, the first and the second issue are like the problems. Like, what is Befani Nachtam, you know, trying to solve? You know, what are the frequency of incidents? A, what are the threshold, you know, that we care about in terms of, you know, limiting, you know, that frequency or reputation, you know, et cetera. That's one and two. you know, on the other side of it, the pushback side is, how much of all of this does the shtar, does the edus shabishtar, you know, really address? In which case, you know, in addition to the chashash, the umdana problem, like how likely is it, are people, you know, mechut safim, you know, to be mezayef for shtar? Are people, you know, ignorant enough and arrogant enough to get involved in an area of halacha? If they're ignorant enough, you know, they don't know the dinam of lishma, but they're preparing gittin. You know, all of that is, has an umdana aspect. And it also has, you know, this is something that we're all familiar with because of our, you know, first Zman travels. What about the Eidus Shebishtar? What about Reish Lakish? Doesn't Eidim Achsum Lashar Nasa Kemishan Ekor Eidus of Abezdin guard against all this? Either in combination with the probably in combination with the Umdana, but as Eidus, and once it's Eidus, if it is Eidus, you know, then why are we worried about anything? You know, if it's real Eidus, and Chashash Rachok, you know, or Laz, you know, is... you know, seemingly, you know, neutralized by Eidus. Of course, we know that the Eidus of Reish Lakish is a tricky kind of an Eidus, in the sense that, you know, it does feed on Umdina, number one, and especially when there are challenges like Ir Rabal, which we'll get to in just a second, so then it can particularly be, you know, very flexible. You know, again, the example of Shtar Chabiyani, my boy, you know, is a great example. We'll see more examples when we talk about Mezuyaf and Taninan, you know, but again, we've already alluded to them, meaning, you know, just the one, you know, example, just to, in terms of Sharchim Ben my boy, as I said, no one ever would say, you know, that if you have a shtar, you know, milva, and therefore you say Sharchim Ben my boy, the guy says paraiti, kofrakol, and you say, you know, you wave your, you know, your shtar, Shtar Chabiyani, my boy, right? And then the guy next day brings two Aidim, you know, who come to court and they say, we ra'inu shenifra, you know, hachov. No one's going to say that's trey u'trey, right? On mezuyef they might, we'll get to it. On amana, there's something to talk about. But on Shtar Chabiyani, my boy, no one's going to say it. Why? Because the Eidus of Reish Lakish, when it applies, is Eidus. And that's why, you know, we don't say Motzi Mechaber of Araya or Ein Holchim B'Mamunach or Arov, you know, to all the things Rabbi Kiveger was talking about, etc. You know, you can talk about even Eid Echad for the Rambam, all the Rayas that we talked about in the first Zman, right? At the same time, we understand that, you know, it's flexible. It's the Eidus that's read into the blank check of the Shtar by the Tofes Hashtar, you know, and therefore, you know, it can be, you know, it's a bit of a catch-22, and you can attack that. It's, you know, it's more, it's not objective, it's subjective, or it's based on these things. So what's going on with the chashashos of, that's what I'm asking now. In other words, you know, in Shtar Kabyani, my boy, we understand it. That's not, you know, the Shtar is, you know, the halva gets off the ground. There's still some initial, you know, but what about, you know, other things? So mezuyaf, amana, you know, ketanim, you know, pesulim. There's a whole bunch of shtar issues. You know, are they, how firmly, you know, embedded are they in shtar, in Reish Lakish's din, edam aksumim? I have to get the details in a minute. And at the same time, what about gittin dinim? Like, what about gittin, specific gittin requirements? You know, specific shtaros requirements, for sure. Others are gradation or range. And what about gittin issues? Like lishma, you know, or other, let's say, sfiras dvarim, you know, issues. Are they also included in Reish Lakish? Is Reish Lakish's din only a dinim and shtaros? Or does, you know, a particular shtar's, you know, singular additional requirements, is that integrated into the shtar part? Or, you know, the shtar lechud and get lechud? especially interesting since get is like the uber shtar, right, for reasons that we've discussed. So this is a second question. If we're talking about the problem of, you know, Rava, we're talking about a shtar problem. If we're talking about, if we're talking about Rava, I said Rava. If we're talking, it doesn't matter. I said Rava, meaning it's Kim Shtaros, we're talking about a shtar problem. If we're talking about Rava, we're talking about a get problem. Does that matter with regard to, you know, the question of, is this all resolved by being mechazek? You know, why do you need b'fanei nachtam, b'fanei nachtam? And if b'fanei nachtam, b'fanei nachtam does work, is it working because it's mechazek, the shtar, and then the shtar is what's neutralizing this? You know, or not? What about laws or something like that? That's the next problem. That's problem number three, you could call it. You know, problem number four is connected to problem number three, and that is, who is, the tofes hashtar, who can read Edus of Reish Lakish into the shtar through his taina, right? Meaning there is the objective aspects of Reish Lakish, and then there is the role of the person who's holding on to the shtar, in claiming whatever he's claiming about the shtar. So as far as that's concerned, the Tfisas Bala Shtar, is that only the Bailim? What is the relationship between the Baal, while he or before he has delivered the get, and the Isha, for example? This is not what we're talking about directly, but the Isha who receives the get, and now holds it and comes to Beis Din and wants to get married on the basis of that. And what about the Shliach in between? Like, what's the status of Shliach Laholacha, as far as being a tofes hashtar who has ability to say things in the name of the Edus HaBishtar? And what about a Shliach LeKabbalah? Right? So that's all part of this question, too. And then finally, closely related, point number five, if you will, the numbers don't matter, is the question of Irur HaBaal. Like, what role does the Baal's Irur, what status does the Baal's Irur play? Is that just a typical, he's just, articulating, chshashos, and they stand on their own? The Gemara on Tes Omid Aleph seems to say that the Irur HaBaal is treated, not even just as an Eid Echad, but as Shneid. Right? And the question is, why is that? Is that Doraisa? Is that Darabanan? And is that applicable? What is the basis of it? Is it Midin Baldavar? Is it Midin Balashtar? Does it apply only to the Shtaros aspects or even to the Gittin aspects? So all these five questions are questions that we are going to discuss. But I just wanted to map out kind of, what this is all about. Okay, there was a question or we're good? No question. Yeah.
What is the main rule?
So that's, it's a balance. It's an izun between the two. That's exactly, the Shakla Vitaria and Gimel Amin Aleph, is exactly an example. On the one hand, Rabbanu Huda Atzruch, that's a chumrah. That's because of the high standards that we have, for the get. And then the Gemara says, V'hacham Yishumaguna Akilu V'Rabbanu. Implying that there's a tug of war, right? There's a tacharut, right, between these two different factors. But it's not one or the other. We find it in other cases, too. Again, you have a similar thing with, Isha Shemes, Shemesa Bala, Shemesa Aleha, or Mes Bala, to say straight. Like, she's made on her husband's, who Nafal, Mayim Shein Lem Sofer or whatever, she's the only one who saw him. That's a Gemara in the beginning of 10th Perek of Yevamos, Aisha Rabba. That's what we, a real Aguna case, not what we call Aguna today, but the classic Aguna case. There too, there's a dialectic, there's a clash you know, between the consideration of having very high standards, you know, to be matir, you know, in Eishasish Lashok, and to be believing her, Isha Daiko Mimsava, or Milsavina Ligluye, or straight, you know, Mishuma Guna Hikilu, as opposed to it's a Dover Shabarva. So it's not, there's no, we'll discuss it more, but that is exactly the Izun, or the Tacharut, where depending on your point of view, in this Shaklavatari of the Gemara. Okay, so that's, I'm just trying to explain where it comes from, because both of the Mechaivim are admirable, you know, noble causes. The idea of having very high standards, whether it's in Geirus or in Ishus, you know, helps, you know, Klal Yisrael. As I say, it's a, like a Sus Yag LaTorah. It's something you cherish, so you want to make sure, you know, that it's on a very high standard. And on the other hand, you can destroy, it's still an institution that, you know, is vital, you know, to family life, you know, to the continuity of Jewish life, to the nobility of the halachic, you know, view of the world. So you have to be careful if you're, you know, fortifying it, you know, not to, you know, destroy it, you know, by being, and that's an art. That's what the Chachamim, you know, we're doing. And that's what the Shaklavatari is all about. Okay, having said that, it's very late. These are the things to look at. Now that we know that, let's go back. So the, you know, we'll go back to some of these. Everybody should be familiar with all these Tosafim and Rashis, and, you know, I'll add the other things, you know, going forward. But let's go back to the Rashi and the Tosafim for a minute. First on a technical level, but we'll see soon it adds up to other things as well. So Rashi, Noam, again, if you don't mind, just the Rashi, Rabbanu Hudak Srichu. Yeah. So Rashi, and then Rashi on the other daf, as we said, Chad Kechad implies the same thing. So Rashi is certainly working with a Chashash Rachok, which is what bothers Tosas Miuta. The Miuta, Tosas doesn't like it there, Tosas doesn't like it on Gimel Amud Aleph, and Tosas opted for the Laz option. There are some Rishonim, including the Rajba, you know, who kind of have a middle option. They say there's not really, we wouldn't worry about a Chashash Rachok of, you know, Lishma per se, but what we're worried about is that if there's an Ir Rabal, right, so then, you know, the Chashash Rachok turns into a, you know, Chashash, I don't know, Karov, but, you know, at least, you know, Pachot Rachok. So, meaning when, you know, it's given credence by Ir Rabal, so it's an interesting question. In other words, we're concerned about the, you know, incidents of, you know, lo lishma, or, you know, we're concerned, you know, that, you know, there might be an Ir Habal, you know, in which case the incidents of, you know, shalo lishma, instead of being, I don't know, you know, 10%, you know, when there's an Ir Habal, you know, and they investigate it, it turns out that it's 30% or 40%. Right, so that's an interesting question, whether or not, you know, Irur Habal is a factor in the Chashash, you know, that you're trying to neutralize in Fanadakta, Fanadakta. Okay, but there are several points in Rashi just to speak about very quickly, well, some not so quickly, but at least to raise. Firstly, some Achronim are very troubled by this Rashi, Rabbi Kivager in particular, and it's quoted by many other Achronim as well. But this is a problem that Rabbi Kivager mentions, and the Torah's Gittin on Gimel Amud Beis, the first piece. But, you know, Rabbi Kivager in his Chidushim here on Beis Amud Beis, and that is, if Eide Chasima, you know, are Chosein, you know, Shalom Lishma, if we're talking about Eide Chasima at least, is that just a Lishma problem, or isn't that just a Eidos Sheker problem? I don't have the answer to that question, but you should be just be aware that this Rashi's suggestion that we are really Choshesh, you know, for lo lishma in this way, triggered this discussion. It's not just a lishma problem. It would be a problem in, you know, let's say, you know, in Shtari Milva, right? If in the sense that it was for somebody else, right? Let's say the Shtari, the Edei Chasima signed, you know, on there was, you know, Trey Yosef and Shimon, you know, Be'irachad, let's say, or whatever, and even if they weren't Hoksak, we'll get to that in just a second, and you know, they signed on, you know, for, you know, for the other one, and you want to use it for this one. That's not a problem of Lashma, right? That's a problem of Edo Sheker. The Chasima Sa'edim isn't just a requirement, according to Rabbi Meir at least, is not just a requirement, you know, in Ashvuye Shtara, as we know. It's Edo Maksum Al-Shtar Nasa Kamishan Akhra Jusuf Bezlin. So that's something to be aware of. I don't have a good answer. Rabbi Kveger has a whole discussion about this, and he has, like, you know, interesting hechatimtsis to solve this problem. Like, oh, according to the Rishonim, we think that you have to, like, you know, articulate Lishma. So, you know, that's what we mean. We mean that, you know, when we say that there wasn't Lishma, but that's not what Rashi's talking about. Right? Rashi's talking about Ashkach Kasu V'Omeid Kagon Shenichtav L'Shem Echad B'Bnei Iro Sheshmo Kishmo Shma Kishma. Anybody have Rabbi Kveger in the back of their thing? If you can find it. If not, you know, you might get it for next time. But you should just be aware, and the Torah's Gittin also has trouble with this problem. Okay. The Balei Tosas have other issues with Rashi. Again, firstly, the one that they... Yeah.
Just
you have
it? The few bigger things Rashi's talking about with the map, there were already 80 Hasima on this get when he found it.
No, I think what he's saying is that the Edim are chosmim, you know, for the wrong, you know, they're not reflecting the Tzibui Abal. They're chosim for the other people.
So we're saying where you found again with Edi Hasim already. It's not Rashi could be talking to Rabbi Elazar, just the Edi Lishma.
Yeah, right, if I was talking about Rabbi Elazar and the Ksiva is Shalom Lishma, right, then there's no problem with the, you know, and the Edim sign, let's say, B'nei Tikkun Olam, you know, but then, of course, they're not the Edim. And that, you know, whether or not that requires, you know, then you're getting some Bod Rabbi Elazar, but Mizuf Mitocho, but, you know, that would be a Dindur Rabbanan, let's say, according to Rashi, you know, and so on.
Right, but then he's saying
that
just the Ksav wouldn't be
Lishma. Right, the only Lishma is the Lishma right. Daraisa, at least, with the Ksiva. I guess this is a little based on the fact that the Gemara does later on consider the possibility, Gimel Amid Beis, the Gemara considers that this, you know, might be a Libum, when the Gemara says, like, you know, why did he befanei nechtavu befanei nechtam? The Gemara that we're Kori lemafreya, so, you know, we sneaked ahead, you know, to the last chapter, or not the last chapter, but, you know, we sneaked ahead. So the Gemara has a havamina that this is all a libid Rabbi Meir, and we'll see in a moment. Balei Tosas quote that here as well, because they have another problem, you know, in terms of buchaf mitocha, which we'll get to in just a second. So if that is the case, and we're talking about, you know, Rabbi Meir, and we're talking about the Edei Chasima themselves signing this get, you know, Shelo Lishma, meaning the Baal, you know, let's say Bob one, who's married to Barbara one, right, asks the Edei Chasima to sign, you know, on his get, you know, and, you know, the Edei Chasima sign, but L'shem, you know, Bob too and Barbara too, right? So I think what Rabbi Kveger is saying is that isn't just a problem of Lishma. You know, they're not being made. It's not a proper edus. If someone were to do that, you know, in a Shtar Milva, that should be a problem too. Yeah, you would have. Oh, you have it. Go ahead. I think that's what he says, right? Oh, you don't have it. Say, one second, a little slower and. Looks like it here, yeah.
Kasha, if Shaykh Gabi Khasima Shulashan, the Koshimo Khasima Shimbaze, Lash Magaji, from the Mela, Lake Islam.
Yeah.
Rak Gabi Sofer, Shaykh Shkasim Islamid, Abagabi Eden, and Kosim Islamid, Lake Islam. We have Bisharshar Supasso. Rak, the Poskim of the Sobrim, the Eden Vaisham of the Parish, the Kosim Lashman, the Eden, some of the Balza,
Right, according to those Rishonim would think that you have to, that would be a case, but that's not what Rashi's talking about. Right. Okay, keep the Rabbi Kivager open because there's another Ha'ara that's also oft quoted from Rabbi Kivager. So I think that's a very good question. I think the question is much better than any of the Heichatimtzi answers. I think that remains Tamua, something to figure out. Good. The other thing that remains to figure out is Tosis is, again, Tosis doesn't like it because it's miyuta de miyuta. You know, if it's a real chashash, why are we worried? I already gave what I think is the answer to that, namely, you know, this is a kind of a shmira paradigm or a, you know, we're going very far with the on a drabanan level, at least to protect the, you know, the reputation, if not because of reputation laws, but on a substantive level. And that I think is very, very important. But Tosis is troubled by other things. Yeah.
Rashi doesn't say that there are 80 simon.
Right. I'm just saying this, right, that's kind of what, you know, what we were saying a second ago. But the ha'ara that Tosis makes, which is that you have to be able to read, you could say, oh, I mean, the Gemara in Gimel and Beis considers the possibility that the Mishnah of Bafani Nachtam, about which Rabbah and Rava discuss, you know, whether it's Lishma or Kiyum Shtaros, the Gemara considers the possibility that it's a Libid Rabbi Meir. So if it is a Libid Rabbi Meir, the only Lishma that matters is the Chasima. And it's Eide Chasima, correct? Now again, what you could say to that is in Ochanami, and Rashi wrote his Perush, this is like a methodological question in general, like are zillions is too much. There are many, many questions, you know, that are asked by Rishonim even, and certainly Achronim, you know, with this kind of mentality. Namely, if the Gemara considered, you know, that a certain Shaklavataria or a certain whatever could be, according to this Mandamar or that Mandamar, do the Mefarshim explaining it, you know, have to fit into that, you know, original Hava Mina? Well, now, if Rashi here is explaining that the problem is a problem of actual chashash lishma, and the Gemara is saying in at one point that maybe Rabbi Meir is the author, so does this have to work for Eide Chasima Kars? The answer may very well be, you know, like us, you know, maybe this was our mat here. You know, Rashi sneaked ahead, you know, when he was writing his Perush here, otherwise he couldn't have written his Perush, by the way, right? He already knew that, you know, that we don't think that Rabbi Meir is the author of this Mishnah. If you pressed him and said, according to that line of the Gemara, how are you going to read this? He said, oh, simple, like Tosas. Totally wrong, but, you know, it would have been right if the Mandarma was Rabbi Meir, which it totally isn't. I don't know, or something like that, right? Or, you know, given Rabbi Kivager's example or something like that. So that's an interesting methodological question. I'm a little more, you know, for the same reason that I was Korei Lamafreya, I'm a little more open-minded, you know, in that regard, you know, in most cases, like, you know, that, you know, Hanami, but, you know, by the time he wrote the Perush, he knew. And he could have had, you know, there are other ways he could have explained it, but that isn't the preferred way or the maskana way. You understand what I'm saying? But that's, I think, where it comes from. Okay. So, but the other point, and this, of course, is goes to Tosis' point a little as well. So, Noam, go ahead. You're doing such a good job. So, the Tosis. Read the next line. Right, period. We'll stop there for a second, because, you know, if you think this part is whatever, the next part is wilder. But, so what's he saying, Noam? It's a good question. Or is it? He's saying, according to Rashi, you know, forget about the problem of Lishma, right? If it's Huchsak Shnei Yosef et Shimon Be'erechad, you know, and you're assuming that this works even according to Rabbi Meir, this should be a problem. Muchach mitocho. So forget about the Lishma Chashash. There's actually a Vadai problem of Muchach mitocho. Oh, so there are several assumptions. Number one, he's saying kind of what I just answered Tuvia a second ago, which is just because the Gemara in Havamina there was Rabbi Meir doesn't mean Rashi's Perush necessarily needs to reflect that, correct? Tosis is assuming here, and that might be the path of least resistance, and maybe initially you should always assume that, and then, you know, it isn't the end of the world, in my opinion, you know, for you to then, as a backup, not just to get out of a problem, but, I mean, logically, even, you know, why should you be stuck? I mean, the idea that, you know, who the author is and what his other shitas are, you know, it's not unusual that that should have some material, you know, relationship, you know, to what the concepts are and what's possible. So, you know, if you're changing your perush according to who the maskana, the maskana is, the I don't think that's a compromise. Just you shouldn't necessarily assume it, and you have to weigh whether it's all relevant or not relevant, you know, in the process. But that's one point in Tosa. The second point in Tosa, yeah, Baruch. Say again?
It's a better question the other way around.
What is?
With Rabbi Meir, when is there ever a din l'shma?
The fi Rabbi Meir, what do you mean?
Meaning, if your problem is a real problem, and already by the need for the Hasima, you've already...
No, because you still could be a generic, you could be... Are you talking about the Rabbi Kiva Eger problem from before, or...
Yeah.
No, that's a good question in general. Why isn't, you know, again, unless it's this, you need lishma, you have to invest, that's why he got, you know, has suggestions. Oh, the real, you know, problem of lishma for Rabbi Meir would be, you have to say, you know, like Siva Sefer Torah, you know, you have to, like, you know, hinani, you know, kosev davar zeh lishma, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, or should it be, you know, l'islamed or something like that. Or it shouldn't be, you know, whatever. Or he has, I think he has also a case there, if I remember it correctly, you know, like a Brera type case, if you don't, you know, if you do or don't hold Brera. Am I right about that? Yeah? Something like that? Or like, you know, yeah, some other, a bunch of other cases. Rabbi Kivager, he was, you know, he had plenty of ingenuity, but he's struggling with it a little bit. You know, for that reason. So you could, that's a problem. But for,
in terms of the immediate, you could just say that you found it already signed. That's not the issue.
Ksiva is no problem, but.
No, but meaning, in terms of the Mishnah, you can say for Rabbi Meir, we're talking about a case where you found it just signed again.
Oh, you mean the Edichas? Yeah, but I'm saying either way, it's still false.
No,
it's still not just a Lishma problem.
There still is a Lishma problem.
What?
There is a Lishma problem there as well.
If you find, like, a get that was created for another couple, you know, by Adim, sincerely for that couple, and now you're trying to apply it to this couple, it's not just a Lishma. It's, I mean, it's like saying, you know, he's not here because he had a cold, and I forgot to mention, he also died last night. You know? Meaning, that's not what they were made. They're not made on this Gerushin. So it's not... You know, it's not a Lishma. It is a Lishma problem, but who cares anymore? Meaning, wouldn't that be a problem in if you found a shtar be'ede chasima, you know, a shtar milva? You can't use it, and shmo kishma. You can use it? It's ede sheker. There's no din of Lishma.
Now you're dealing with a second issue also.
What?
Now you're dealing with also a second issue.
What do you mean also? What's the also?
Now there's two issues, Lishma and...
Right, but what I'm saying is that's my, you know, it's not my joke, by the way. It's like, you know, but it's, you know, but that's what the reference, meaning it's not a second issue. Sometimes when you have a more core problem, it eclipses the more trivial what could be a serious problem becomes a trivial problem in life. That happens also, you know, sometimes when you're facing a more existential threat, you know. So here too, like if it's sheker, then forget about lishma. You know what I'm saying? That's not where lishma. I think it's a very good question. Again, Torah's Gittin, a lot of Achronim discuss it. I'm not happy with the, you know, it's mostly like Hechatimtzi type answers, and I find it difficult. I think it's a really excellent Tahara. But let's move past that for the moment. How does that help with the next part? I'm saying this: the question that Tosis asks is a different question. Tosis is saying two things. Assumption is the Gemara, and therefore Rashi's Perush, needs to be Aliba de Rabbi Meir also. Rabbi Meir, A. So I'm challenging that. You know, I'm not so sure about that, right? All things being equal, you would think, but it very well could be that Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Meir, enter into... you know, the problem in the Chashashos here as well. Why would they? Don't they just argue about a technical point of, you know, how the Eidesha Bishtar are they Mesira and Chasima, and they're totally interchangeable? Well, that's our whole, you know, long discussion. You know, do you just say Midrabalazar Nishmila Rab Meir, Midrabi Meir Nishmila Rab Elazar, or are there other, the fallout isn't just about Mechubar and Lishma, you know, and technically, but it's about many other things as well, correct? And ironically, of course, one of those things, you know, would be, you know, Muchach Mitocho, frankly, which we'll get to in just a sec. So assumption number one, I think you could be Docha. I don't think you have to, but you could be Docha. There's another couple of assumptions. Assumption number two, this is what I wanted to get to, is that the Chashash, Rakok of Lishma, right, and the necessary, you know, circumstances for Muchach Mitocho are identical. Meaning, unless you have, you know, Huchsak, Shnei Yosef and Shimon, Be'ir Echad, right, which is the circumstances of Muchach Mitocho, you're not going to have a Chashash Rachok of Shema Ein Zeh Lishma. Because maybe it's not Huchsak, but maybe there's somebody there anyway, under the radar screen. It sounds like when it's not Huchsak, that's not a level. Is that true or not? That's what Tosis is assuming. So later on, and I think others point this out as well, maybe Tosis Gittin, if I saw it somewhere, that on, like, you know, Tosis Chavdalet on the base, the Dibur HaMaslo Be'edei Mesira, you know, has this discussion, or has this possibility, I think for Abzera, right, that... is it Rabbi Yirmiyah or Zera? Yeah, that if the guys, you know, it's Bimokom, you know, Shayaros, this Tosis here on the bottom one, on, I'll read it maybe on Sunday, Be'ede Mesira, that maybe, you know, if like there's a Nefilas I get and somebody finds it, and it's Bimokom Sheish Shayaros, that you should be Chosheish, you know, Shema, you know, it's the get of a different person, right? And therefore you shouldn't, you know, return it. Even though that wouldn't be a problem, Buchach Mitok. Okay, then Tosis goes on to reject it. Okay, but I do think that's a question. That's an interesting question. Is the Hagdara, does Buchach Mitoko any Chashash Rachok? And, you know, is any Chashash Rachok a problem even if there's no Buchach Mitoko? Right. I'm just saying, you could look at it from either, you know, standpoint. Like, how, when we say Muchach Mitocho is only a problem when it's, you know, Huchzak, is that because absent Huchzak, there's no Chashash? That's, is there a possibility that you could have a Chashash, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean it's a Muchach Mitocho problem. Misvara, Tosa seems to be considering that on Chavdal and Amadeus, at least considering it, and Misvara, to me, it is sensible. That's point number two. Of course, the bigger point is point number three. What's the bigger point? Vinny?
Rashi hold of
Mitocho. Correct. Does Rashi even hold of Muchach Mitocho? And that's where the Rajpa comes in. Ah, so he's saying, but you didn't assign us the Rajpa. I mean, the Rajpa that we already saw, hopefully, and I think on the last day of the first Sman, but we were speeding. Right. So one of the things I was trying to explain at that point in time was that even though the orthodox, you know, perspective, you know, is that, you know, oh, Rabbi Meir, you know, requires Muchach Mitocho, and Rabbi Eliezer does not, correct? And that works very beautifully. That is the Shita of the Ri, pretty much, Bekol Makom, and mostly the Shita of Balei Tosis. And we're familiar with it. It's Tosas on Dalet Amud Aleph, the famous one that we discuss so much, the Kaimbalon, right? Right, on Dalet Amud Aleph, the next half, the one we saw, right? The Amar Ababa Modra Blom, I'm sorry. D Lake Hashem, where is it? Avalar Meir Nicha, the Tzorach Lomar de Meshulash Shinairi, the Boilar Meir, She Muchach Mitocho, right? That's also Tosus in, that's also Tosus on, you know, Chaf. Again, it's here on Gimel Amud Aleph, it's Dalet Amud Aleph, it's Chav Beis Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Man. It's the one that I was just talking about, Chav Dalet Amud Beis, Dibra Maskel Be'ede Mesira. It's, you know, the Balei Tosas in Ksuvis, Tzadi Dalet, Shnei Shtoras Hayotzim B'Yamechad, all the things that we discussed at length. The Re's position, which is to be Mechalek between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir, you know, with regard to Muchach Mitoko, as I say, is a very compelling and also a very popular view. However, what we discussed the last day of the last Zman, when we were in a very big hurry, is that, you know, not all Rishonim, you know, agree with that, because some of them narrow the gap between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir in both directions. Right? Some of them say that, you know, even Rabbi Meir, there's no din of muchach mitocho, and they give different explanations for the phenomena that the Re... So this is what the Rajba here, if anybody has a line, that's one of the things I gave you to look at then. The Rajba here says that's the answer for Rashi. Who says that Rashi thinks that Rabbi Meir has a din of muchach mitocho? Rashi's l'shitaso. Anybody have it? No? This is a Rashba in a few places. Rashba explains on Chav Dalet Amud Beis also that Rashi has a gear. The Rashba's view is that Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ramban, that all three of them do not believe in Muchach Mitoch for Rabbi Meir. Okay? Rashi on Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the Ramaskel, you know, the Rabbi Eliezer. Rashi on Chav Dalet Amud Beis has a different explanation of why Eidei Chasima doesn't work, right? Shema, you know, he's Megarish as Chaberta, but not Muchach Mitocho. And that's why the Raja makes the Ha'ara on Chav Dalet Amud Beis, and he makes the Ha'ara here. That, you know, the answer for Rashi is that he just doesn't believe in Muchach Mitocho, period. Rabbeinu Tam, also, a different girsa on Chav Dalet, you know, Amud Beis. The Ramban has a different explanation or doesn't have the girsa. So if you, Ramban Chav Dalet Amud Beis says that the only reason the Gemara there quotes Rabbi Lazar, not because of Muchach Mitocho, because the Reisha, you know, seems to be talking about a problem of Ksiva Lishma, and Ksiva Lishma is only according to Rabbi Eliezer, not according to Rabbi Meir. Where Balei Tosas explained that Gemara, that the Gemara is Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, because otherwise there'd be a problem of Muchach Mitocho. Meaning the sugyas of Yochal Lehizdayev, and, you know, Shmo Kishma, all the sugyas of Muchach Mitocho that the Re thinks are divided between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer, you know, again, I'm not sure if it's true, but the Rajba thinks that Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ramban all disagree. On the other side of it, and this is very interesting, if you look here, this I should have given you, I don't remember if I did. I told you to look at Tosa Rush or not. Again, I didn't because I mentioned it at that last. This is the Tosa Rush that we were referring to. You know, that Tosa Rush here on base on the base, I mentioned then, goes the other way. Except it's very difficult to read. I'm not sure 100%. But the Tosa Rush here, when he formulates, you know, the issue, formulates it even for Rabbi Eliezer. We'll see the next line. Okay, but anyways, the answer for Rashi could be one of the three that I mentioned. Okay, either in Akhanami, this Perish is not according to Rabbi Meir, B, there's a difference, and this is important, between Muchach Mitocho and the Chashash Rakok, the whole chashash rachok thing for Rashi is already, you know, because we have a different standard when it comes to gittin, that doesn't mean that that's enough to generate muchach mitoko. Number three, like the Rashba, muchach mitoko is not a requirement for Rabbi Meir either, according to Rashi. Good. The next part of Tosis, we're going to stop in 2 more minutes, 3 more minutes, 4 more minutes, not more than four. Stephen, you'll make sure of it. Stephen's really doing the job.
It's a good cop, bad cop relationship.
Seems only a good cop. But yeah, no, they you know, definitely inspired us. So what's the next point, Noam, of the Tosis? The next point is really wild. Oh, so this, of course, touches on two points that we need to clarify better. There's a lot of confusion surrounding both of them. Namely, which points?
Well, how much does Rabbi Elazar agree to Rabbi Meir?
Again, the relationship between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, for sure, we'll get to that. But how much do the Edei Mesira, right, need to know about the kashrus of the get in general and especially in real time when they're serving that function? Number one. And number two, how much needs to be known about the minui when there is a shliach, about the, you know, legitimacy, the authenticity of that shlichus? Right? And that is also a double question. Namely, do you need, one question is, do you need a minui shlichus al yidei edim to become a shliach in gittin or kiddushin? Do you need, you know, the presence of edim or not? That's question number one. And question number two, which might be related to one, but also could be completely disentangled from it in both directions. To what extent do the edim of the Nasira, I'm trying to be careful because I think, you know, it's not so clear whether the problem is an edei kiyum problem, in which case I wouldn't really call them edei Nasira, or the problem is a shtaros problem, in which case we should call them edei Nasira. To what extent do they need to know about the shliach? Meaning, even if there was a minui shliach be'edim, did they need to know about that at the real-time moment of the mesira? And even if there is no requirement of edei kiyum in the minui hashliach, do they still need to know, right, that the shliach really represents the bailim or not? Okay? Is that clear? Two different questions. Now, what is this? What is this idea that Tosis, where did Tosis get it from even? Now, Tosis makes it clear, or it's implicit, it's explicit in the Tosa Rosh and others, that what? That this isn't a general problem. Let's say you have a regular, you know, shliach laholacha, right? And he delivers a get to an isha in front of two edim. Do the two edim need separate knowledge that he is a shliach? It's like, is that a problem? Or is it only a problem when there's Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, you know, muchach mitocho kind of a problem? You know, there are two Shnei Yosef ben Shimons, and therefore it's a problem. Meaning, is there gito mochiach alav typically that would work here or not? So Tosis actually came up. This is just a new, like a lot of the Achronim are like scratching their heads. Like, what is this? Tosis is assuming, right, that there is some din, not unclear the relationship to the Edei Kiyum B'Minui issue, you know, and unclear whether this is a Shtar Halacha or a Edei Kiyum Halacha, but somehow when there's objective you know, more of an objective reason to wonder, you know, who the Baal, you know, written in the Shtar is, that somehow knowing the kesher between the shliach and the actual Baal, you know, becomes a bigger prerequisite. Now, the Tosa Rush, let me get to take care of this part already, when he formulates this, this is what I quoted again on the last day of the last semester, and he has it again on Pei Bav Amud Beis. Why Pei Bav Amud Beis, Akiva? What's Pei Bav Amud Beis? Yeah, but what else? That's in the aftermath of the Mishnah on Pei Bav Amud Aleph. What about the next Mishnah on Pei Bav Amud Beis? No. That's Ksuvas. But Shnei Shtaros Shenis Arvu. Yeah. So you have the Shita of Rab Zeira. Remember? We all remember fondly. You know, it caused a lot of problems for all the Rishonim and everybody and so on. That what? You have it there? The Gemara had a Havamina, coin to Rab Zeira, that you need Nesirah on Lishma. Correct. So I mentioned then that the Tosa Rosh has a bit of a different take. Tosa speaks about Muchach Mitoko, and the Tosa Rosh speaks about there being the equivalent of Muchach Mitoko in Edei Mesira. That's the Tosa Rosh. But the Tosa Rosh, everybody have a line of Tosa Rosh here? The problem is that he kind of goes back on it in the end. Itzi, all the way back there. You have it? Seems like you would have Tosa Rosh. Right? You don't. Yisrael? Again, I didn't give it because we've seen it already, so I thought we'd seen it already. Did you? You have it? Oh, they have it in the back of the Gemaras, you're saying. In the back of this Gemara, I have a Tosa Rosh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe it's on that
page
or on that
page? Do the one on the base, because that's the... But he says it also on Pei Bav Amud Beis, but... Whoever gets it first. Keep it, go ahead.
On the board.
Yeah.
A few realized are Sarah Ibn Sira, Pavlika, Inhan Idris, Shabal Asar Shaliach, Rubialazar, Bahina Shade Bukhiach, Lady Sira, Minahu Garish.
Whoa. Right? So what is that? He's using Muchach Mitocho language for Rabbi Eliezer. Correct? So the way the Tosa Rosh initial, now again, in the end of the piece, he lapses back into Tosos language. Yeah, one more time, Akiva, just that line. Whoa. What is that? That awfully sounds an awful lot like Rab Zeira, right, on Pei Bav Amud Beis. What did Rab Zeira say on Pei Bav Amud Beis one more time? Kiva?
It's Rab Yirmiyah.
Oh, it's Rab Yirmiyah? I've been giving, you know, credit to Rab Zeira for Rab Yirmiyah? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, what did Rab Yirmiyah say? Shai? Since you're Omer Dover B'Shem Omro.
Well, he says that the Mishnah of Shnaigedin Shnisarvu.
It has to be a Libid Rabbi Meir, because if it was a Libid Rabbi Eliezer, giving it Mimanov Shach a second time wouldn't help you, because...
Well, yeah, the Emesira don't know...
And that's all, that's a Pashtus of the Gemara, that's a Lishma problem. And that's where you get the whole discussion, the Raivid, the Ramban, right, about, you know, the Rif and the... Right? Emesira Karsi, the Chassima Karsi, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Correct? However, what Tosa Rosh seems to say is that it's a Muchach Mitocho problem. I mean, just at the Tosa Rosh, the Pashtus, and now these lines, and later on he lapses back to Tosa's language, so, you know, it's hard to know. But let's assume this is the Mechudash part, assuming that he believes it, because he sounds like he's saying it later too, is that just like what we said before, Rashi maybe doesn't believe in Muchach Mitocho. Right? Probably Meir. And maybe not Rabbeinu Tam, and maybe not the Ramban. That's the Rajba Sa'ara. Don't think everybody holds like the Ri. But you could not hold like the Ri in the opposite way too, which is why we spoke about it on that day, because we were trying to show, you know, that you could either think Midr Rabbi Meir Nishmal Rabbi Eliezer, or Midr Rabbi Eliezer Nishmal Rabbi Meir. So here the Tosa Rosh is saying, there's a din of Muchach Mitocho in the Mesira. So does that make sense? Sure, a little bit, especially if you hold like Zach. Like? I mean, I gave you the clue. Especially if you hold like the Rashbam, you know, in Bava Basra, correct? Right? Namely? It's like the Einam Asir are like, you know, are integrated into Shtah, or like the Ra'ah in Shittim U'Betzes and Ksubas. Right? He was trying to explain that if you hold like the Rif, you know, you can't say Eidah B'Chasam of Zachin Lo, even for the Eidah Chasima of the Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer and, you know, because Eidah Chasima and Eidah Masira are basically Eidos of Ashvuye Shtara. Correct? So that's a fascinating view. Now, if you hold that way, you know, it's not, we're not saying that the Eidah Kiyum or even the Eidos of Ashvuye Shtara, you know, have to be known to the shliach. I'm sorry, we're not saying that the shlichos has to be known per se. What we're saying is it's a mokum mitoko problem. It's the Tosa Rush, assuming you take it seriously, is its own chiddush, and it's important for the relationship between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Meir. Right? But at least it kinda, if you take it seriously, and you read it this way, although he lapses, then it neutralizes the other problem. But if you don't, or if you just have artosis, like, what is this? What does this do? So here, this I mentioned Rabbi Knegel, we'll stop with this. I already went beyond my 4 minutes. But so just to, you know, a lot of Achronim asked this question. But Rabbi Knegel, I think, is the one who got, you know, the credit for it and the fame for it. And that is, what? Tosis is saying that there's a requirement that the Eidei, you know, Kiyum, let's say, know about, you know, the Shlichus. That seems to be against, you know, the Pashtus, the Mishnah on Sabach Gimel Amud Beis. What's the Mishnah on Sabach Gimel Amud Beis? And the Mishnah there says, I told you to look at that anyway because of the, well, it's directly related. And the Mishnah there is, what? Is it Sabach Gimel Amud Beis? You have it, Yonatan. Ha'isha she'amar iskaba ligiti.
Ha'isha she'amar iskaba ligiti. Tzricha shtei kitei. Shnayim she'amar b'tneinu amra. V'shnayim she'amar b'tneinu kiba v'kara.
Oh, so what does that mean? It means that the edim, that there are two sets of edus that are required in a case of shliach l'kabbalah. One is the minui l'shliach l'kabbalah. This is where it comes from. This idea that there's a minu shliach l'kabbalah requires edus. Right, that's one of the things we want to look at more fully. And the other one is, of course, the Eidei Kiyum or the Eidei Mesira, whatever it is, correct? But the Eidei Mesira, and then the Mishnah says, right, Afilo Heino Rishonim, Heino Akronim, O Echad Minon Rishonim, Echad Minon Akronim, Echad Minon Sarif, but it doesn't need to be that way. So there's no requirement that the Eidei, the second pair of Eidim, know about the first. That's even where there's a requirement of Eidei Kiyum. I'm sorry, even where there's a requirement of Eidei Kiyum for Minui Shliach LeKabbalah, right, there's no requirement that the Eidim, you know, who are the Eidim on the Gerushin, be aware of that. Everybody have a line and you still have it open? The Rabbi Knegel?
Yeah, I
can't
have the line.
What? You have it? I mean, it's because of you that we're ending late, though. No pressure at all. Okay, well, we'll look at it. Anyway, but this is the key. Oh, so that's what I want to pick up with. What is the nature of this halakha? Of course, it reminds us, is there a difference between shliach l'kabbalah and shliach l'halakha? But of course, there's a certain irony because the requirement for Eidim for Minui has the stronger evidence is about Shliach LeKabbalah than it is about Shliach Laholacha. So is it possible that Tosus thinks that in Shliach Laholacha, you always need the Eidei Kiyum to know the identity of the Shliach Laholacha, and you don't need that for Shliach LaKabbalah, even though when it comes to establishing, now there are two different issues. One is to be defined as a Shliach LaHolacha or Shliach LaKabbalah, do you need Eidei Kiyum? Question number one. That's a machlokas, but the evidence is solidly that at least Shliach LaKabbalah requires minui be'edin. As for Shliach LaHolacha, we'll investigate more fully. Look also, if you get the chance, at the rush, you know, right in the beginning, when he talks about Asyu Beitrei, it's actually implicit in Tosus, you know, the Tosus here, Asyu Beitrei. You know, if you look at the rush in the back, you know, on that point as well. So, on the other hand, what Rabbi Kineger is asking is, or pointing out is, Tosus here seems to say that the Eidei Kiyum need to know about the authenticity of the Shliach LaHolacha, but from the Pashtus of the Mishnah, the Eidei Kiyum don't seem to know, don't need to know about the authenticity of the Shliach LaKabbalah. Right, so when is that? So that's why I want to pick up. But of course, all of this reminds us a lot of like the general problem, you know, of kind of Eidei Kiyum. In other words, apparently it's not, it seems like it's not enough for Tosus, right, simply to say, okay, so later on, let's let the get be given. And if there's either an Ira Rabba who says he's like, I don't know this guy, he's not a Shliach. Or even let's say you positively require for the file before she can remarry, we need to establish that this Shliach is authentically from the Baal. Okay? But good. Be Megarish, you have the Edim here, you have the get here. We'll fill that in later on. From Tosus, it sounds like, at least in the case of Huksak, right, that's not true. That there's some kiyum or fundamental definitional requirement that the Edim, either on the Gerushin or if they're Edim Mesira on the get, that they know, you know, of the authenticity of the Shliach. And if that's the case, why is Shliach Kabbalah different than Shliach LaHolacha? And what's going on here? Okay, so we'll pick up with that part of it and then broadly speak about Halacha and Kabbalah, and then I'll give you an additional list on that too. We'll spend a couple of days on this and then we'll move on.